Last week, we had a little bit of a discussion about our approach to the presence of God. And I want to continue that thought today. And if you'd like to go back on our online services and review last week, at some point you feel free to do that. But I want us to go this morning into Luke chapter 2 and read together. Just follow along and listen to the story of the birth of Jesus. At this time, the Roman Emperor Augusta decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. He's been born today in the city of Bethlehem, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to the heavens, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried into the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there the baby was lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary held all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Interestingly enough, that throughout history, there was only a limited number of people who could approach the presence of God. We discovered last week that the Old Testament, it was the priests, and the people would come to the priests, and the priests would go to God in behalf of the people, and the people themselves could not approach the presence of God. And here we come, Jesus is born into the earth, and God makes a decision that a select few, interestingly enough, shepherds on the side of the hill watching their flocks, could approach God there in that little barn. It strikes me that the Lord did not tell the general population what he was up to. God didn't speak to the general population other than the prophecies that had been spoken. But just as we know that Jesus is coming again, and Jesus said that those times are in the heart of the Father, no man knows except the Father when Jesus will be told to come again, that no man knew the time or the day nor the hour that the Savior would be born. It was written in the heart of the Father, but it was not disclosed to the general population of the earth. It was not disclosed to worshipers of God around the earth. It was disclosed to a few, really what the culture at that time considered to be lowly shepherds on the side of the hill. But they were given the opportunity to approach the presence of God. And I want you to realize something. This was before the cross. This was before the veil was torn in two, that shepherds, imperfect men of the earth, were allowed to approach the presence of Almighty God with all their imperfection, with all of their sin, that God was sending a message. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is now approachable by the general population of the earth.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? It's beautiful. But interestingly enough, and the wonderful news is that eventually Jesus would come to maturity and he would walk the face of the earth ministering in his ministry life. And John declared it this way in 1 John 1 and 26. John said of Jesus, "I'm baptizing you with water. But the one who is to come after me, the one that you are preparing for, the one that I'm declaring, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. When he comes after me," interesting, this is how the scripture says that he's coming after me, but he's preferred before me. Isn't that beautiful? He's coming after me because I've been sent to declare to you that he's coming, but oh, he's preferred before me. Whose sandals, the latch of his shoes, I'm not even worthy to loosen. He's coming. John was declaring, he's coming. And I'm declaring to you, he's coming. But interestingly enough, we're able to say he's coming, and yet he has come. So the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, a blessing that will be to all people." It had been in their history and in their understanding that the blessing of the Lord was only for a select few, and that the blessing of the Lord was only for a certain population of people and a certain nation of people. But the Lord had said to Abraham many years ago, "Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed." All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. And the angels sing on the side of the hill, and they say to the shepherds, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. There has been born to you this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest." Jesus said on John chapter 7, Scripture says that it was on the last day of the feast that Jesus stood up and he cried out and he made himself known publicly, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, anyone, anyone." How can you and I live in this life with those kinds of words being declared to us and allow ourselves to be convinced that we are not worthy to approach him? He said, "Whosoever will may come." If anyone is thirsty, if anyone is weary, if anyone is broken, let him come. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Church of Living Water, this is the passage of Scripture from which we bear our name. That out of your belly into the earth would flow rivers of living water. Revelation 22, again, Jesus is speaking into the earth. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who hears this message say with his mouth to others, come. In our culture, we've lost sight of this on so many levels. If you have heard, you have the responsibility to say, come. Not only do you have the responsibility to say, come, you have the anointing to say, come. Amen. You have the blessing of the Lord to say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. I love that Scripture repeats itself in that way. Let him take of the water of life. Let him partake of living water freely, without cost, because the price has been paid. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who are burdened. Come unto me, all you who struggle through holiday seasons. Come unto me, all you who struggle with memories of past brokenness. Come unto me, all you who might feel that you are somehow unworthy. Come. Make your approach without fear. It's interesting to me that first thing out the angel's mouth as he stood to speak to those shepherds who'd never seen anything like this, he said, fear not. Someone made a point some time back that in the phrase fear not, that in one context or another, it's in the scripture 365 times. Once for every day of your life, every day of your year. He says, fear not, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. So many of, even under the sound of my voice this morning, so many of you have lived your life in the context of fear or anxiety in some area of your life. And the word of the Lord to you today is, don't be afraid, just come. Just come. I want to read this passage of scripture to you. Kind of wraps up what I'm tempting to communicate, but the scripture communicates it best. Familiar passage, John 3. Let me read to you. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The moment that I said that phrase, I heard a passage of scripture that said that through him that many sons would come. He gave his only son so that he could have many sons and daughters. It occurred to me last evening, I was meditating on this moment, and I was thinking about the fact that in Christ, there's no stepson, there's no stepdaughter, there's no grandson, there's no granddaughter. That whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've ever heard this passage before, hear it with fresh hearing this morning. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, He didn't send Jesus so that he could pick you apart for your imperfections. He didn't send Jesus so that he could turn around and pick you apart for your brokenness. He didn't send Jesus so that he could leave you the way that you are. He didn't send Jesus so you would live in insecurity. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Listen. Verse 18, which we so often skip, says, he who believes in him is not condemned. Only believe by faith, and all condemnation is wiped away. All shame, all brokenness, he is enough. All helplessness, all isolation, all hopelessness, washed away in him. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. What is Jesus saying? The word is saying, if you're walking in condemnation before God, you don't need me to condemn you any further. You don't need me or anyone else, Jesus is saying. You don't need me to tell you that you're far from God. You already know this. Just come. You can change that circumstance by coming. Saints of God, you can have a year ahead of you like no year behind you if you will make your approach to God, that thing that has been causing you to be hesitant to approach him. I break that off of you in the mighty name of Jesus today. You can have a year like no other year ahead of you if you will just come. So Jesus is really saying, the word is really saying, he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. You don't need me to tell you that you're far off from God if you have not drawn close to him. But the word says, if you will draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. And the word further says in verse 19, and this is the only condemnation. That light has come into the world, and there are men in the world who would rather stay in darkness than to receive that light. There's only one condemnation from the Lord, from the Word, and that is that if you decide not to receive Jesus, when the light of God is made available to you, that you would choose to remain in darkness. And he's not even condemning you. The choice to remain in darkness condemns you. I want to suggest to you today that the word of the Lord has just come into the light of Jesus. Jesus.